Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. Today is August 6th, Wednesday. Wednesday, August 6th, 2014. I forgot how to talk about dates for a second. I hope you're having a great day wherever you are. As ever, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I do so appreciate you being here. This is episode 84 of The Big Show. 84. Wow. That's crazy. I didn't realize we'd done that many of these. Again, I do so appreciate you tuning in each week. I really do appreciate it. I wouldn't have done now 84 of these had you not, but I just want to say thanks so much for you tuning in. It makes it really worthwhile and really a lot of fun for me. There is just a huge, huge amount of stuff to talk about today. Lots and lots of things. And I want to start, there was a post over on the Huffington Post. There was some news there where they talked about how research analysts on Wall Street are predicting nothing but doom and gloom for Walmart and Target and other retailers like that because of the growth of mobile, the growth of e-commerce, the growth of the mobile web, and how customers can get what they want at various times. And it raised an interesting question for me, something that I thought was kind of worth thinking about, which years ago, I worked in the recording industry. I actually made records a long, long, long time ago, back in the late 80s. And one of the things that we saw as studios went from analog recording to digital recording was we saw all these legendary New York recording studios going out of business because they were being undercut by more nimble, less expensive, digital-based studios, people doing the same sorts of things that I'm doing right here in my office, right? Recording directly and simply. And the question that really came to it that, we really saw, or the thing that we really saw was, people would come to us and say, well, you must be so excited that you're doing so well when all of these big New York studios are failing. And we didn't think that at all. We thought that was a horror show. Because if these companies who had done such great work and were so successful for so long couldn't adapt readily and couldn't survive in a new business climate, what chance did this small little studio in New Jersey where I'd worked have, right? I mean, we were kind of terrified. And as I read about these, at research analysts talking about the risks to Walmart, the risks to Target, and really the risks to just about any business that does not adapt effectively, it made me wonder, well, are all businesses doomed in some way? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. Nobody's doomed, right? I mean, first of all, if the answer was yes, this would make for a really depressing episode of the show, right? Are all businesses doomed? Yes, thanks so much. Have a great day. No, right? All businesses certainly face certain competitive threats and certain competitive pressures. At the same time, those same businesses can make use of those tools and can make use of those technologies to actually benefit their business. And that's really something that anybody who's listened to this show for a while, anybody who's read the blog for any period of time, recognizes is something I care about a lot. The reality is that doing well matters a lot so long as you focus on what your customers' needs are, what your customers' wants are, why it is that they look for what it is they look for. So, interestingly, Marketing Charts had a thing out the other day that talked about the top-rated attributes of why customers buy, why they choose to buy. Now, first on the list, you might imagine, was price. And obviously, price is always going to play a role. But more importantly was the second one on the list. And that one was value for the money. To me, when customers say that they don't get the value they expect for their money, or they say price is a problem, you don't have a pricing problem. You have a quality problem. You have a value problem. You're not conveying your value proposition effectively. The third one on the list was the quality I'd expect as a customer. Right? So number one was price. Number two was value for the money. Number three was quality. Now, if you think about value and quality in terms of the price that people receive and all that, I have a P's and Q's model I've talked about for a long time, where you talk about price and proximity and quality in terms of the hospitality industry, or price and quality in terms of other brands, where customers have an expectation of what they should get and what they should pay for what they should get. And if you exceed that expectation, you know, people don't care what the price is. Nobody's complaining about the price of a Rolls-Royce if they're buying a Rolls-Royce. Nobody's complaining, honestly, about the price of an iPhone if they like the quality they get for an iPhone. Nobody's complaining about the price of a high-end television or the price of a luxury vacation or the price of a really great meal at a really great restaurant. They do complain if they go there and they don't get what they expected. And they don't get the value they expected. So while price was number one, the fact that value was number two and quality was number three, and they were almost as important in that equation as price, I think is incredibly telling and something you've really got to pay a lot of attention to. Now, way down the list it was actually the fourth one on the list, but it was only one in four of the respondents to the survey said that it was a name I can trust. So it goes to show that brand value, brand reputation, doesn't matter as much as it used to, because people are accustomed to getting what they expect, and they're, you know, they have so many ways to do it. You know, I've talked for the longest time. Actually, I can tell you the reason why first. You know, according to eMarketer, 88% of customers are now reading reviews before they make a purchase decision. And an equal 88%, two different questions, just they came out with the same number, trusted the reviews as much as the people that they know, with fully three-quarters of the people they surveyed reading between 2 and 10 reviews before making a purchase decision. So they have a tremendous amount of information, your customers. They know a lot before they go in as to what it is they should expect. And if you meet that expectation, then they're going to say they got a good value and they're probably not going to worry about price as much. Clearly, with the caveat that some products are more price sensitive than others, but the reality remains that if you deliver value, if you give the quality that people would expect, if you give them good value for their money, they're not going to spend a lot of time talking about price. Now, I started to say I've talked for a long time about how reputation management is one of the most important ways you can, most effective ways you can market your brand. Focus on your reputation, focus on the quality of reviews, focus on the customer service your customers receive, and you'll find yourself in a much better position with regard to that. I've talked for a long time about the transparency issue on the web, both from a price standpoint and from a quality standpoint. I'm actually going to put in the show notes two different presentations that I've done over the years that are out on the slides are out on SlideShare. You can check them out. And they really talk about the fact that customers can find as much information about your products and services, frankly, more information about your products and services than your employees have most of the time. And the reason is because they care. They have a vested interest. Now, I'm not saying your employees don't care, but your customers really, really care. They need to know, is this product the right thing for me? Is this going to satisfy my needs? Is this going to help me solve my problem or make me happier? So they have a lot of reasons to care. Whereas your employees certainly want to do a good job, certainly want to help their customers, but they don't understand the need that the customer has to near the same level. And so that just has a huge effect on how it influences your customers in their purchasing decision. Of course, the question is, how do you get your message out most effectively? Well, Marketing Charts has another study that talks to marketers about what they found to be their most effective channels for both acquiring customers and retaining customers. Number one on that list, you might not be shocked to learn. I hope you're not shocked to learn. Is their website. You gotta have a good website that tells your brand story effectively. Number two was social media, so using various outreach types. By the way, these are, they ask the question, which is most effective for acquisition, which is most effective for retention, and which is effective equal, which are equally effective. So I'm just focusing on the ones that marketers said were equally effective. So website was number one, social media was number two, and third was the mobile web. Which, if you think about it, you know, your website is something they're going to view on their mobile site, on their mobile device. Social is something that they're going to do on their mobile device. Very common behaviors. So those all kind of tie together. And it comes down to telling your story effectively using your website and making your website work on mobile so that customers can find the information they need, can understand what to expect when they come to you or when they purchase your product or use your service, and understand the value that they're going to get, have a good expectation of the value that they're going to get. Now, my recommendations for how you take advantage of this, first, you have to display value in everything you do. You have to focus on, am I providing good value for the money my customers spend? That does not mean lower your price. There's this old idea of the race to zero. I've talked about this for some time, the race you can't win, where you have a situation of you've got soft business results. And so to do that, you reduce prices, either by giving away, actually cutting prices or giving people coupons or things like that. It amounts to the same thing. Mobile Commerce Daily talks about the fact that they expect mobile coupons will rise to over a billion by 2019, so within the next 4 or 5 years. Well, that's just discounting. I mean, that's just giving your stuff away even cheaper, which I'm not suggesting you do. Right? So if we think about this problem, you've got soft business results, you reduce your prices either by actually cutting the price or giving people coupons. You then have to cut your service or your marketing to pay for that discount. That's a fact. That happens all the time. Because you have to fund that reduced revenue somehow. You might see some short-term sales response. You might. The problem is your competitors undoubtedly respond by either cutting their prices or providing coupons or things like that, right? They're discounting again. That lowers your customers' expectations of A, how much things should cost, and B, what they're going to get for what they spend, reduce service, etc., which leads to a worse customer experience, which leads to soft business results. And the cycle continues, right? It just becomes this, self-fulfilling prophecy and vicious cycle where you're continually cutting prices and racing your competitors to zero. It's a race you cannot win. You know, much like the old movie War Games, the best way to win is not to play at all. Instead, you want to focus on how can you improve your customer service. You want to continue with creating helpful content for your customers. Help them actually solve their problems on the web, on the mobile web, in social. Answer your customers' questions. Break down the silos within your organization. Make sure your sales and marketing people talk to one another. You know, there was another study, again, on marketing charts. Boy, I couldn't do this show without marketing charts, could I? But there was a thing where, a study where they showed a minority of B2B salespeople find marketing assets effective. You know, your sales team needs a hand if you're a B2B person or a B2C person. Talk to the people who talk to your customers every day, whether it's a call center, whether it's on your sales floor, it's in your retail stores. Get your sales folks involved in developing that content. Don't make it sales versus marketing. Make it sales and marketing working together. And build your email list, because email is such an effective way. I know I talk about it a lot, but it's such an effective way to put your content in front of your customers. As you might imagine, that same marketing charts study I talked about before, about the most effective marketing tools for acquiring and retaining customers, email was one of the top for retaining customers, and it was among the best for both. So what you're really focused on when you're trying to help your customers decide where to buy and why to buy, you're really focused on value. You're focused on improving the service they receive, improving the value they receive, helping them get good value for their money, helping them solve their problem. And then you don't have to be like Walmart or Target or any of those guys worried about, am I doomed? One last bit of advice, and I have this in the show notes, is you're going to want to check out the 6 must-read posts from July that I put up last week, or earlier this week rather, excuse me, that give you all kinds of tips and techniques and advice for how you can improve your digital marketing and your e-commerce activities. Now, checking out the clock on the wall, we are about out of time for this week. So, as ever, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate the fact that you do. I want to remind you, you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast, and you can subscribe on any of the episodes you find there. You can find the show notes for today's episode there as well, at timpeter.com/podcast. You can also subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or any of your favorite podcatchers. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. And of course, you can email me with comments or questions or concerns or thoughts you have had about this episode or any of those we've done here. So with that, I want to thank you so much. I hope you have a fantastic day, a great rest of the week, a fabulous weekend, and I look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.